L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And the Nashville Predators, I guess, start a new win streak. Can we say that? Maybe a little bit too early. But the Preds beat the Buffaloes.
It's a point streak. It's still a point streak.
It's 19 of the last 20. Since they got their butts whooped by Dallas, 19 of a possible 20 points. I mean, you would take that 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. That this Predators team is in a much different position. The Predators take down the Buffalo Sabres 4-2 last night. Nice little hat trick from Philip Forsberg. D-Mace, you asked a good question this morning. You said, what was the last time the Preds had two hat tricks in a week?
Yeah, because it's been a week.
Cody Glass on Saturday.
Cody Glass on Saturday and then Forsberg last night. So, you know, I just wanted to know, I was asking y'all, you know, when was the last time that they've had, you know, two guys have hat tricks within the same week? So that's an interesting trivia question. Willie, you can use that for trivia.
I will find the answer out to that before we are off the air today, because that's something we ought to use in our broadcast.
Exactly.
That's a good question you're asking. I can remember a few years ago, Philip Forsberg had two hat tricks in the same week. But that's been a minute since that happened. I'm trying to remember, and it doesn't pop into my head. Like, those were the first two hat tricks of the season this year.
I'm hard pressed to remember
a hat trick anybody had last year. I don't know that anybody had one last year.
I don't remember. So it's been a while. Yeah. I guess is a safe assumption.
Yeah,
that it's
but
been
hey,
a while.
I take it. The Nashville Predators played. They played a good game. You know, it wasn't clean as they wanted it probably, but they did the things necessary to, you know, win the game against the Buffalo Sabres, who had played the night before. So you got to take advantage of that when you can. And Willie mentioned that their starting goalie wasn't in the net, so they were going with their backup goalie. But still, the Predators went out and took care of business. And, you know, I look at this game, this past game, and I think this was a – I don't want to say statement game, and just bear with me for a second. And I did explain to y'all right before we got on air. It was a big game or statement game for me because all that's going on this week. They traded away training yesterday. Other guys are still trying to figure out, are we going to get traded? Are we going to be here? You know, so all of this stuff swirling around this team. And then they don't play as well the night, you know, 2 nights ago. Then they come back last night and they elevate their game and they take advantage of a team, rightfully so, a team that just played the night before. And that third period was lights out. Philip Forsberg had a great game, his hat trick. So
he was awesome.
To me, I think this game, you know, it really showed their mettle because, you know, when a lot of stuff, being a former athlete, and when stuff like that is swirling around the locker room, trade deadline comes upon you, and you still stay focused on what you're doing, even though one of your buddies just got traded, that says a lot. That says a lot for that organization, for this year's team, and for Coach Marino, that he kept everything together because they need every game moving forward.
I think that's a good point. It is not easy to be on your best game when you're a day away from the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. It's you're getting a mixed bag sometimes. Yakov Trenin has been a Predator since he was 18 years old. And he's been on the team as a regular now for, what, 3 or 4 straight years? Yeah. So not having him around is – that was definitely noteworthy, right? He's a extremely popular guy behind the scenes. You know, real quiet, but, man, the nicest guy that you can find. So – It's a bummer that he's going to Colorado of all things. Colorado, come on. And he might do very well. Colorado has certainly reshaped their weakness, and they're going out with a new formula, because what's the rap on Colorado? They've got the guys at the top that are megastars, but behind them, they can be exploited. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, they had a better supporting cast, and they just railroaded the whole league in the playoffs, right? Starting with the Predators in the first round. It was just no contest, and it was really no contest any time during the playoff run. Last year was different. They didn't have quite the secondary group that they wanted. And this year, I think they looked at their secondary group and they were like, we need to upgrade there. And they have. They've added three or four forwards. And it looks like they, on paper, have upgraded. That's what they're hoping. And Trenin is a part of that. So Nashville trades Trenin within the division. And I'm curious if Trenin becomes a free agent in the summer or if he stays with Colorado. I can see Colorado saying, okay, thanks, Yakov. You know, we rented you. And now you can move on and test the market. Like, it's worth asking Barry Trotz when all the dust settles here. Yeah. If they kind of left it there with Trenin and said, okay, you know, if you hit the market again, we might be interested in bringing you back. That wouldn't be the first time that's ever happened, but that's now a question for the summer and not for right now. But all that being said, to take care of Buffalo last night was important, because as we said, you know, when you lose first time in a long time, it's like, okay, how's your confidence? But to get back, it's like a closer that's on a roll, you know, save 10, 15 games in a row, then you blow one. What's that next outing look like? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was important to reestablish the confidence and the groove that they've been in. And they did take advantage of a Buffalo team that they played on the right night. Back half of back-to-backs, backup goalie in. They had an injury the night before to one of their key scorers, Tage Thompson. They were putting in a Bowen Byram for the first time. They just traded one of their key players for a very talented defenseman in Byram, who scored the first time he touched the puck for his new team. That was pretty fun for Sabres fans. But all that being said, that was a team you needed to beat last night. Even though the Sabres, I think in another year or two, that's going to be a really, really interesting team to watch. Like, I keep waiting for the light to go on. It hasn't, but they're still so young. That's going to be an interesting team to watch over the next few years. But had to beat them while you can, and they did last night.
And it's not even just a team that you need, that you should have beaten. It was also points that you needed.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and a
yeah.
game that you needed to win. Points that you needed in the standings. So now you leapfrog. The Nashville Predators have leapfrogged Vegas for that first wild card spot.
Now,
the
think
Preds
about
sitting
that
with
for
75
a
points and Vegas with 73. I mean, we viewed Vegas, rightfully so, as the big bad Golden Knights, the reigning Stanley Cup champions. And now you're sitting pretty. And it's not like you've pulled away from Vegas, but you're starting to pull away from Minnesota and St. Louis and those other bubble teams. That it's looking like it's going to be you and Vegas in the wild card, at least where it stands right now. I understand a lot of games left to be played, a lot of points left to be gotten, but right now you're sitting in a really comfortable spot. And it's also it's the getting the points, and it's also the getting back on track. I think through that 8-game winning streak, we started to see the identity of this Predators team and how they are going to make the playoffs, to play in the playoffs, make a first round interesting. Heck, even get out of the first round of the playoffs. I mean, the way that they were playing, I think anything was on the table. So you didn't see that kind of fire, tenacity, brand of hockey, identity of hockey against Montreal. And while I don't think that last night's game was even remotely close to the best brand of hockey that the Predators could play, they had their ups, they had their downs, but you know, ultimately you found a way to win, and that's the brand and the identity of this Nashville Predators team. And it doesn't have to always be the Philip Forsbergs, the Ryan O'Reillys, the Gus Nyquists, and UC Soros playing his absolute butt off. It's scoring up and down the roster. Last night, it just so happened to be Philip Forsberg's night.
And that first line has now played two just tremendous games back-to-back, getting back to their A game. Because during the 8-game winning streak, it was noteworthy that they played well, but they weren't carrying the team. It was really a collective thing that was getting them the offense. But that's now, in 9 of the 10 games, they've scored at least 4. Now, that's hard to do, even if you're the best scoring team in the league. But so they're getting offense. And last night, it was back to they got it from the top line, a dominant night from those guys. But you made a good point about just where they are right now. There's 18 games left. They have 75 points. Crispy was on with us last night. It was fun. Hal Gill, who is a Boston Bruin alum, they're celebrating their 100th year. So they're every so often they're getting a bunch of alumni back up there and celebrating former Bruins. So Hal was up there last night in enemy territory.
He didn't pull a Mike Vrabel, did he?
I don't think so.
It's not like this everywhere.
We'll have to find out. Was he mic'd up anywhere?
Exactly.
That's a good question.
Hal saying, hey, Bruins fans, don't take this for granted.
I'm going to ask Hal when I see him in Columbus later tonight. That's a good question. But Crispy made a good point last night. He was awesome.
It was good to have Crispy.
Oh, man, he was great. He was great. He is forever our inspiration. But he said, when you're in this position in the Predators, don't look behind you, mm-hmm. right? Keep shooting for the team in front of you, and that is going to, you know, keep you in the right mindset. And just passing Vegas, I mean, holy cow.
That was huge.
I don't know if that's going to remain the case because Vegas is going to figure it out. Right now, they're in a total funk. I watched the end of their game last night. Their announcers are looking around going, what's going on? They haven't even led. But this happens to some teams, and they're mixing in their new guys. They're loading up. They brought in three impact type of guys, and we'll see where it goes. I feel like they're going to get on a hot streak. They're going to be in the playoffs, but just the fact that Nashville could catch the defending champions like that, that's saying something about how well the Predators have played. But I think that's what you got to do. Stay hungry. See if there's another team you could catch. Mm-hmm. Hey, why not?
I'm looking at the last 10 games, and you know, obviously we know about the first line. Forsberg, Nyquist, O'Reilly, those guys. We know about the first line. And I'm just looking at what they have produced over the last 10 games. You're talking about five goals, four goals, five goals. But then you look at that second unit, two goals, four goals. They are getting a third unit, one, three, two. They are getting contribution down the line. This is no longer, even though the first line is the, you know, is that line, is your lead dog. But it seems like within this last 10 games or month and a half, everybody has picked up the slack. Yeah. And with a team like this, you got to have a collection of guys going out there. And we've said it before, pulling the rope the same direction. Everybody's pulling the rope the same direction. Everybody's doing the things that they need to do on the ice. Because when you're doing the things that you're supposed to do, good things are going to happen for you. When you're playing within the system, good things are going to happen. When you start to get outside of system, that's when you have the mistakes. That's when you have, you know, the turnovers and everything else. But it seems like the last month, somewhere around there, this team, and I'm not just talking about the first unit, everybody is contributing.
The system that Andrew Rennet is putting out there, I think, is giving them a formula each night that has been successful. In other words, they're getting more offense than they're giving up. Mm-hmm. That's what, to me, is the biggest part of the story. And that's where Andrew Brunette probably deserves some consideration for the Jack Adams, is because you look at this collection of players. And when you listen to all the trade talk nationally and you start hearing about teams being mentioned, people from the outside look at the Predators and they look at the names on that list and they're like, oh, man, they don't really have a lot of sexy guys outside of Forsberg and Josi, and they're like, how are they doing it? They need more scoring, and that's probably true. They need more finishers, but they're getting every night their share of offense, and they're not giving up a ton on the other end. They're not giving up 40 shots like they were last year.
Right.
So I think that's the system that's elevating the group, and now it's up to and recently those guys beyond the first line are chipping in and scoring more. And that's what's intriguing is with this Beauvillier pickup, and I don't know if they got anything up their sleeve today, or maybe there's somebody from Milwaukee that can move the needle just a little bit. But if they can just convert a little bit more of their chances, it's starting to happen, and they still get the top-level goaltending that they've just started to get in the last 10 games, I think there's even another level that they could get to. And I'm not saying they're going to, you know, be favored in the first round. They're going to be a substantial underdog in the first round if they make it, if they continue on this. But I think the gap's a little smaller when you look at the system than you might imagine on paper.
As far as Andrew Burnett for the Jack Adams. I don't think that's crazy at all, nor do I think that's out of the realm of possibility. I was watching a Sportsnet short on YouTube, and it was kind of going through rapid fire some contenders that they would see for the Jack Adams. And they listed like 9 or 10 coaches, and Andrew Burnett wasn't even on the list. Mm-hmm. Now, it could have been when, you know, the Predators were maybe in the midst of their hot streak, because I think this came out about a week ago. So the Predators were in the middle of the hot streak, of the win streak. But I think that now the Predators have had won those 8. They now find themselves in a playoff position. Looking back on that, I don't know how you could name 9 or 10 coaches in consideration for the Jack Adams and Andrew Burnett not be one of them, considering the team that he inherited, considering the pivot of this organization, and considering the pivot of the team at this point in the season. I think that he absolutely should at least be in consideration. But want to get your thoughts on everything Nashville Predators yesterday. The moves, the acquisitions, the trades. Yakov Trenin, of course, sent to Colorado in exchange for a third-round pick. Steve is on the line with a thought on Yakov Trenin. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Steve?
Hey, I really enjoy the show. I wanted to ask, why do you think that was a good move by getting rid of Trenin, and who is going to take his place? Are we going to promote somebody from Milwaukee to his place, and I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Steve.
I think it's a good question, because it's not easy to part with a veteran guy. That the one thing you say about Trenin, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Right? He's big, he's strong, he's going to hit, he's not going to score 25 goals, but he's going to give you 10 to 15 goals every year. He's going to penalty kill. If he needs to fight, he'll fight. So that's not an easy piece to give up, but let's look at the net result. You trade only a fifth-round pick to get Beauvillier to try to give you a little more scoring touch, which is a need on the team. You get a third-round pick for trading Trenin. So you have an extra third and one less fifth in this huge pile of draft picks that you've got in the coming year. So you gained a little more draft capital on the switch. And I do think that they feel like they've got some guys that could fill Trenin's role. Mm-hmm. One would be the guy they picked up on waivers, Jared Anderson Dolan. They like him as a bottom six. He's not quite as big as Trenin. He's got a little more skill than Trenin, but he's a penalty killer, so he's one option. Also, I keep hearing a lot of stuff about Zach LaRue, he's got that sandpaper. He is a guy that will annoy the other team. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been suspended a few times. He will stick his nose in there. He will take penalties, but he will draw penalties. But I think they really like his makeup. I hear he could be a guy that could get a shot at some point, so that's an option. But I think it's a little easier to replace what Trenin brings than to find somebody who can score. So the net result, I think, is a worthy gamble to see if you can upgrade there.
And
they probably were not comfortable with what the terms were going to be for Trenin's next contract, so he's a free agent at the end of the year.
That, I think, is really the biggest thing for me, and why the Predators ultimately made that decision. Well, Barry Trotz might tell us. He will join Stillman and Company later on this afternoon after the trade deadline. But to me, it's a business move. I mean, Barry Trotz, even though they want to make the playoffs, Barry Trotz still is a businessman. He still has business decisions to make. And he said, look, if I need to sell, I'll sell. If I need to buy, I'll buy. And so if Yakov Trenin and his people and Barry Trotz just couldn't come to an agreement of his value for this team and what his people viewed his value as, then are we going to lose you for nothing? When we can maybe find other guys within our system, or maybe it's an Anthony Beauvillier plug and play, and that's kind of your pseudo Yakov Trenin for the rest of the season. If we can find that at a price that we like, we'll take that over overpaying for a Yakov Trenin that I don't know how much Barry Trotz views Yakov Trenin as a foundational piece moving forward in this new Andrew Burnett system.
Yeah, I think that's well said. So we'll see if they've got anything else going today. I think the central guy will be Carrier to see if they can finalize what the next deal would be for him. Because if they can't, and I do think they would have to consider what's the last best offer they received for him and weigh that. But I do think it would be tougher to trade Carrier in the short term than it is going to be trying to replace what Trenin gives you.
Carrier is the interesting one today. Yeah. Carrier, Lankinen, Berry.
Lankinen's another one, yeah.
As we go throughout the next few hours, the NHL trade deadline is at 2 p.m. today. So those will be interesting names to watch. And, of course, we'll keep you updated with any moves that the Nashville Predators make from now until the NHL trade deadline at 2 p.m. Central. But Chris Mason will join us coming up next. What he has seen from the Nashville Predators, maybe the player perspective of what the trade deadline means, of what those players might be feeling right now. We'll get into that coming up next. Chris Mason will join us. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekman by Mason.
And goal number 3, Chris Mason.
I'm Willie D. Mays. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. The Predators take down the Buffalo Sabres 4-2 last night, and in their last 10 games, possible 20 points, the Predators have gotten 19, which you would take any day of the week. Joining us now is Chris Mason. C. Mace, appreciate you for joining us as always. I do want to get into trade deadline, the moves that the Predators already have made, the moves that the Predators can make over the next few hours until the trade deadline at 2 p.m. But first, kind of want to look at the on-ice performance that we've seen over the last few games against Montreal. It just wasn't the same kind of fire. It wasn't the same kind of tenacity, kind of a sloppy performance against Montreal. But Predators come back, beat the Buffalo Sabres last night. This brand of hockey that the Predators have been playing, what have you made of it, and how encouraged does it make you for the Predators to not just make the postseason, but to make things interesting in the postseason?
Yeah, I definitely think they have one of those teams that can make things interesting. You know, you're going to have games like that against Montreal. It's tough sometimes to, you know, completely get up the same way, and you got the trade deadline, you know, hanging over their heads and all this kind of stuff. It's not easy. And as much as everybody says, oh, how can you let the Montreal Canadiens, a team, look at where they are in the standings? It's just, we all know this if you follow any sports. If the team isn't ready to play, you know, 100% and do all the little things they would do against the, you know, the Colorado Avalanche or an opponent of that caliber, you're not going to win, or, you know, you're playing with fire. You might get away with it a couple times, but, you know, that's human nature. But the way that they got back, you know, on the saddle, and they played well against Buffalo, and, you know, able to close it out in the third period again, something, you know, they didn't really have a really strong third period against the Canadiens, but they were able to get a point. Which is good. And, you know, I was talking to the guys from Buffalo, and, you know, Rob Ray was saying, he's like, man, you guys play hard. Your team is, they got that grit. He's like, we've got good young talent, but we don't have any grit. You know, we don't have that. And it seems like, you know, you guys, you've got a good balance of everything, and your guys, your top guys are scoring. So, you know, when you hear the outside view of what people think of your team, I think that helps too, because, you know, we get so entrenched, you know, you get so kind of tunnel vision on your team, and you have your opinion. It's nice to hear what outside experts think as well. And that was, you know, a compliment to the team and the way that they play. And I think, you know, those intangibles and the things that the Predators really excel in, that physical play, the ability to, you know, possess the puck to create offense. They might not have the most, you know, high-flying, high-octane, superstar-powered offense, but they get chances. They work hard. Their top guys are scoring again, as Phil did last night. And, you know, they're getting some the back end, the defensemen are getting points. It's just a really good thing. And then Saros, I mean, that's a tough draw. If you're the one seed or the two seed or whatever it is, and you pull the Predators, like, we're going to have to earn this one. That's exactly what they want. They want to be that team that they are right now, where really nobody wants to play.
Chris Mason is with us. The Predators made a couple moves yesterday, trading a fifth-round pick to Chicago for Anthony Beauvillier, trading away Yakov Trenin to the Colorado Avalanche in exchange for a third-round pick. What do you make of those moves, C-Mace?
You know, it's tough. It's the old business side of it. If you don't want to – Barry's been in a tough position here because I'm sure they had plan A – 3 weeks ago before this streak, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there goes plan A, we can't do that anymore. You kind of have to reassess where you are. He's been a man of his word. He said the players are going to dictate what I do and how I go about doing it. You know, if it had continued to spiral downward after that Dallas game, well, I'm guessing we'd have seen a lot more names moved already and today as well, but they showed him what they wanted to do by the way that they played and responded. So it's difficult. You still don't want to just hold on to everything and not take an opportunity to get some assets with, you know, maybe guys you don't feel that you can sign, or you have an opportunity, you know, you get a phone call and you're like, wow, that's a decent prospect and a third round draft pick for Trenin. We love Yakov Trenin here, but you know, this is probably the best move for the team. We've got guys who can, hopefully step up and fill his role, and still make a good run at the playoffs here. So it's tough. It's really tough. And it's everybody understands that. And I know from being in this side of it, you know, it stings at first. And the Predators went through that last year and they went on their great run. But life goes on. You know, Trenin's going to a team and he's got a chance to win a Stanley Cup. The guys here, you know, Mark Jankowski, I look at last night, had an opportunity to play a lot more ice time. Look what he does. He's awesome on the penalty kill, power play point. And he probably had one of his best games all season. He stepped up kind of in that role, I think, taking on a little more responsibility. So it's a life in sports, and, you know, life goes on. But at first it kind of stings because, you know, Trenin was well-loved and respected by the fans and teammates, no question about that.
So some interesting stuff here has gone down. Caroline, you just saw it. I'm going to look up some numbers on this guy, but it looks like the Predators have made another move.
The Predators have made yet another move. So glad that we have you on, C-Mace, for many reasons.
Are we breaking it right now?
A little breaking news. The Preds have reportedly acquired Jason Zucker, most recently with the Arizona Coyotes. 32 years old, forward, 25 points on the season, 9 goals, 16 assists. C-Mace, what do we know about him? What do we make of the move?
Well, what did we give up for him?
That's the question.
It says acquired. So I don't know if that was a waiver move.
No, it would be a trade.
Oh, it was
for
a
sure.
trade. All I'm seeing is acquired.
Yeah, I think so.
This is a proven entity. This is a guy who, this is an ad, and this is somebody who's, you know, as we mentioned, the Predators have done well with the salary cap issues, and they're able to add some of these pieces that won't, you know, have long-term ramifications. He plays the game. That's why Arizona brought him in, is to work with their younger players and have that good balance. Similar thing to what the Predators did in the offseason, is you bring in character people and character players to kind of help, you know, show your young prospects and your young players, you know, how to do it right in the NHL, and, you know, to get better and to just build really good habits. And, you know, he's a player that's been, a really good player in this league for a lot of years, and he's going to come in, and he's a guy that can score too. He's scored in his past. He's obviously getting a little bit older, but, I think it's a nice piece. If one of the things that I think the Predators were looking for, you know, the entire season until recently was a little more scoring, and he's a guy that can provide that. He's a good 200-foot player, which means that he'll play hard on the defensive side of things. And again, another guy that's got a lot of experience, in these stretches of hockey coming up.
So let's give you a little background. Mm-hmm. And I learned this over the years. He spent a lot of time in Minnesota. When you look at his name, it's spelled Zucker. They always had a little different pronunciation. It's more like Zook, like Hook.
Zucker.
32 years old. Last year, 27 goals for the Penguins. This year, as you just mentioned, Caroline, he's not having any kind of great shakes kind of season. 9 goals, 16 assists. But as Mace said, he's had a lot of production over the years. Now, he spent 4 years in Pittsburgh and had a lot of injuries during that. He kind of fell off the grid, in my mind. You know, he missed over half the season for three straight years. So injuries have really derailed him for the middle portion of his year. But back in his days for Minnesota, he was a consistent 45. In fact, had one great year in 2017-18 where he had 64 points, 33 goals, and 31 assists. So he's had some flashes. Mm-hmm. He's on an expiring contract. So I imagine the price wasn't that big to give up. But Mace, I'm kind of in my mind trying to figure out where he fits. Would he give you a little more offense and some of the same grit that Trennan gives you, even though he's not the same kind of body, right? He's not a big, strong guy. He's 5'11", but he's a veteran guy.
Well, I think he's one of those guys that could fall maybe more into the puck possession type of play. He plays hard. He's not as overly powerful physically as Trennan is. But he can do a lot of good things. And I always look at guys, too, in their situations. You go from Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden you're in Arizona. You know, you take a deal, and as it goes on there, it's a tough place to play. I mean, that gets old playing in that little rink, you know, all the time. I know going there a few times as a visitor, you're like, okay, it's worn off a little bit. You need an NHL building. I can't imagine playing there every single day. So this is going to be something that I think is going to really, rejuvenate him. Coming to Nashville, awesome city, great organization. You're going on a fun run, playing, coming into a team that's got really good chemistry, a good locker room. The city's just buzzing. It's an ideal situation, I think, for someone that's playing in a situation like that and coming here. And he's probably, going to get that second life. And as you mentioned, he's got more offensive upside than Trennan, and he understands the game too. So whatever role he's put in, he's played them all. He's going to be effective and, something that I think could, thrive from Bruno's system, as we've seen from a lot of guys this season, having their career years as older players. So we'll have to see. That's the unknown intangible, is the chemistry and how you fit into the situation.
It's really interesting how much I'm surprised that they're adding as much as they are here. But
they're buyers.
They have become buyers. And Andrew Burnett, I think it's also worth mentioning, was with Minnesota for a long time, kind of behind the scenes, sometimes as an assistant coach, sometimes in the front office. So he would know the person, Jason Zucker, very, very well. So I think that's noteworthy. So he probably was like, yeah, I can see how he would fit in the Bruno in the Bruno system, which is different, right? It's progressive, and it's been really effective. So you don't want to mess with how guys fit into the system you're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you look at both guys, they're adding without giving up much. They're not giving up much to make these additions. And I don't mind that. They've got so many draft picks over the next couple of years. And the other thing that you made a great point, Willie, there's history with both of these guys. Bevilier, Trotz had Bevilier with the Islanders. He knows him well. He's not coming here if Trotz doesn't know his character and what kind of person he is and player. And same thing with Zucker. It's guys you're familiar with. It's not going to be a wild card. Well, I hope this guy, I see him play. He's a good player. I think he can fit in. These guys, have history with these players. So that's big too when you're coming in, because they, at the deadline, you're always very cognizant of bringing in the right people, and you don't want to, mess up the feeling and the swagger and that whole aura around your team. So very calculated on the personnel you bring in.
Considering everything that has happened, C-Mace, in regards to the Predator season thus far, obviously we know what they have done over the course of the last month here. Should Coach Bruno be considered for the Jack Adams Award? I know they're not in first place. I know they're not one of the top two or three teams in the league. But what he has done with the roster that is missing some pieces, a bunch of young guys, but he's got these guys playing at a level that I don't think nobody, nationally thought they were going to play at least not this year.
Yeah, I love that point, D-Mace, because I honestly think that in the NHL, I think that award is such a joke, really, because you look at some of these teams and guys that win it, and I'm not saying the coaches that win it aren't deserving. Mm-hmm. Last year, Montgomery, I think, wins it. Boston's got one of the most historic seasons in the NHL, and things like that. But sometimes it's like I have no coaching experience. D-Mace, you and I could go, and we could coach, us four, 5 could go coach, you know, the Edmonton Oilers, and Connor McDavid's going to have, you know, 1,000 points. And some of these teams, it's the personnel that you have. And give these guys credit, because there is a line of good teams and excellent and all these types of things. But I think when you have a roster that's constructed the way the Predators are, or the way that some of these other teams, because look around the league, and there's a lot of teams with equal experience and inexperience as the Predators that are the bottom feeders of the league right now. You know, so I think what Andrew Burnett has come in and done, and I think the additions that Barry Trotz made in the offseason, I wish they would consider things like that more. I wish they would really do a deeper dive and said, okay, well, it's between, you know, Vancouver, Tocchet will probably win it this year. He's done a great job. It's been a great turnaround. You know, but just to pick the four top teams and say, okay, it's one of these guys. Like, that's just not the way that I think that true essence of the best coach in the NHL is. So I think he should get consideration and be one of the guys in the conversation for sure. But unfortunately, I just don't think it will with how they pick that award.
Now, obviously, we have, what, maybe 2-3 hours left before the trade deadline is up. So obviously, there could be more moves made. But one move I am sort of not concerned about, but that I am interested to see whether it happens or not, is Lankinen. Because you see where the Predators are at and the moves that they're making and how they're playing so well, they're going to need a veteran backup goalie. I know Askarov, he may be the next, you know, great goalie in NHL, but at this particular time, it just seems like they need a veteran guy for the remainder of the season, just in case something happens to Jussi. Do you see a move possibly being made for Lankinen?
I mean, I'm willing to bet that Barry Trotz has had a lot of calls on Kevin Lankinen, because there's a lot of teams, you know, that need just exactly what you're talking about. They need a veteran guy that they could trust if something happens to their, you know, their 1A or their top guy. You know, the Predators went through that when they had David Riddick and Connor Ingram a few years ago. Obviously, Connor Ingram's, you know, turned that around and turned it into a nice career, but he wasn't quite ready. He had the one really good game, and you just put yourself in a really tough spot with one injury. And I think if the Predators are adding right now, which, you know, they've added a couple pieces, and you want to get into the playoffs and you want to make some noise and you want to maybe try to upset somebody and then have a little fun in the playoffs, then you need that security, because, you know, one thing happens. And as you mentioned, Askarov's a great goaltender in the minors. He's played 2 NHL hockey games, and no offense to him, it's a whole different ball game, that a whole different level of pressure and weight. And you don't want to put your young goaltender in a situation where, you know, it could crush him, something like that. I'm not saying it would. I know he's mentally strong, and I know he's got elite abilities, and he's going to have a great NHL career, but you don't want to put a young player in that position where, hey, you're going to set him back because, you know, he failed, you know, in a certain situation, or if it's in the playoffs and something happens and you got your young goaltender. If that's what happens because of injury and it's just so be it and you have to do it that way, then that's fine. But I think if you can avoid doing that, I think that's the best thing for the player long-term and the team.
See, Mace, appreciate you for stopping by. Safe travels to Columbus, and we'll chat next week.
Thank you, guys. What team are we going to coach next year? We got to get in the Jack Adams Award here.
Let's coach the best team, whatever
is. There we go. Then we'll be up for it. Yeah.
Right. Thanks, you guys. Appreciate you. All right, coming up next, we'll get into your thoughts and your reaction. Again, the new news, the Predators have acquired Jason Zucker from the Arizona Coyotes. What they traded, we don't know. I have the reporter on it. He's doing some investigative journalism for us. We'll get reaction on that and our full reaction on that as well. Caroline Billy D. Mace, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Sunday for coverage of the Shriners Children's 500 in Arizona. Coverage will begin at 1:30 p.m. with the race starting at 2:30 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com. K-95 Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Illinois State at Hawkins Field with pregame at 4:15 and first pitch at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. A little bit of new news on this NHL trade deadline day. The Predators have made yet another addition, Jason Zucker from the Arizona Coyotes. Now, we do not know, unless it has been reported and I missed it at the break, but we have not heard what's
the compensation.
The compensation is. Now, for me to truly give my full opinion of the trade, I have to know what the Predators gave up to get him. If it was a fifth round pick, fine. Like that, fine. Don't care. Take the fifth round pick. If you feel like this gives you a little bit of oomph to get you over the edge and to make you even more competitive to get in and to make the playoffs competitive, then fine. I have no problem with that. If we're trading second round picks, now that I have a problem with. But I don't feel like that's the case. I feel like Barry Trotz wants to go bargain shopping. I feel like Barry Trotz has no problem sending fifth and sixth round picks out the door for two players that can provide you depth scoring that are both UFAs next season. That if they give you something, great. If they don't, no harm, no foul. You set them free at the end of the season. You gave up late round picks to get them. So not quite sure what the compensation is for Jason Zucker, but the Predators just acquiring him just announced.
Willie, bring up the stat you brought up because I know a lot of people on our text line are upset.
Sorry, excuse me. Per Twitter, sixth round pick.
Okay.
Sixth round pick. See, now that's worth a flyer.
Exactly.
That's send it. Don't care.
Because you can try him. You can try him for 10 games, and if it doesn't work, then you don't remember the rosters expand. It's not like you can't have the depth. You can sit him on the bench. Basically, you cannot dress him and bring a guy up from Milwaukee if a guy is on fire down there, and you're like, I got to get this guy up there. So. It's a flexibility. Mm-hmm.
But you did bring up the stat of the odd man rushes, and it's odd that the guy that they bring in, that's one of his strong suits.
Yes. I'm looking at a guy that I really like in terms of analytics, a profile of a player. He goes by Jay Fresh. I forget the guy's real name, but he's got a good and a Nick was able to
Jason
pull this around.
Or, you know,
Jay Fresh John. Hockey is his handle on Twitter. But he says that Zucker is a middle six offensive winger, has definitely missed Malkin. Now, he played with Pittsburgh last year with Evgeny Malkin. He scored 27 goals last year. He was seeing a lot less ice in Arizona, and Arizona is obviously a very different team than the Penguins, but still should have something to bring to Nashville's transition game. Now, the transition game is interesting. I don't know how many Predator fans are aware of this, because I wasn't until about a week ago. Mm-hmm. But we had a discussion one night the win streak was going on during the road trip. And I was asking Hal Gill and Chris Mason, I was like, does it seem like they're getting a lot of odd man rushes that don't turn into anything that they should? Like, they should be getting more goals off of the odd man rushes. So I looked up the numbers on SportLogic. They get 5.8 odd man rushes per game at even strength. That ranks sixth in the NHL. And when you think about the Predators, you don't think of a run-and-gun up and down, fast break kind of game. But they're generating odd man rushes. But the reason we probably don't realize it is because it's not turning into as many goals as it could. And so if Zucker is a transition type of player, and I would imagine they think Beauvillier could help in that area, if they can create the same amount of odd man rushes and it's those guys, maybe that just moves you up a little bit and you start converting another couple percent of the odd man rushes into goals. That's, again, where you can make an upgrade without mortgaging anything in the future. A sixth-round pick is nothing for a guy who scored 27 goals last year.
Well, you talk about finishers, and it seems like adding these two guys, when we're talking about the odd man rush, these are guys that you believe are finishers. It's like the fast break.
They're better finishers than the guys they're replacing. Like, exactly. Trennan is not a finisher, right? He's not. And look, They are doing an amazing job. But Kiefer Sherwood and Michael McCarron, Cole Smith, they're not finishers, right? So you're getting what you're getting from them. You're getting the grit. You're getting the physicality. You're getting the hustle. You're getting the heart. But they're not – when they score, it's great. But they can create all kinds of odd man rushes, but they're not going to score at a high rate. So you need a couple other guys sprinkled in your lineup. Mm-hmm. Like Tommy Novak can get you going on a odd man rush, but he's a little bit more of a passer. And so what if you put a winger on there that is a little bit better shooter, finisher? In theory, that's where you upgrade your team just a little bit at a very small price.
And the other point that you brought up at the break, Willie, is that Barry Trotz making these moves and buying, that tells me a couple of things. One, the guys in Milwaukee just aren't ready yet. Two, maybe the guys in Milwaukee, maybe Barry Trotz wants to give those guys in Milwaukee a chance, but he's buying low-cost insurance just in case some of those young guys in Milwaukee get up here and they prove they're just not ready yet, not quite for this stage. But that's okay because we have a couple of insurance pieces if and when they prove that they're not ready for this opportunity right now.
I think that low-cost insurance is a great term for these because the other part of it is you have no obligation to them next year. If they had another, if each of them had another year at their contract, because let's be honest, they both are overpaid for their production this year, Beauvillier and Zucker. But the beauty of it is the Predators have the cap space. They're free agents at the end of the year. If you catch lightning in a bottle, then you might say, well, let's see what it would take to keep you around if it happens. If not, throw them back into the free agent pool and they move on.
It really feels so no harm, no foul. Mm-hmm. Like one texter texts in, Lee texts in, says, no issue with the Zucker deal. Sending a sixth-round pick on a rental is fine. The Preds still have seven picks in the top 100 of the 2024 draft. I didn't fact-check that, but if that's true, that's insane. Says Trotz smartly bargain shopping with little risk. That's what it is. Yeah. It's low risk with a potential for a reward. And I don't want to say,
like McLemore, you go into the bargain bin, you go to the thrift shop.
There you go. Hey,
bring a $20 bill. You might come out of there with something good. You
might have a mink coat. Hey. And maybe you find just muddy boots in there. And if you do, that's fine. You turn around, walk back out.
Hey, you can get you a nice white button-up shirt, you know, that you can wear with your suits for like $5.
With a coffee stain. There you go.
It adds character.
Just don't coat over the coffee stain.
Just
put the tie and
the suit jacket over the coffee stain, okay?
It'll be nice. It'll be your own new trend. At 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll continue to keep you updated with any moves that the Predators may or may not make before the trade deadline at 2 p.m. A couple names to keep an eye on. Alexander Carrier. It's been reported that the Predators are still trying to work on a deal for Carrier. If they cannot work on a deal with Carrier before 2 p.m., what's the market look like for him? Tyson Berry is another one. Kevin Lankinen is the third to keep an eye on. So we'll keep you updated on that. But coming up next, as the Titans build their team in the offseason, we know they're going to have to spend money in free agency. You have far too many holes. You're going to have to address left tackle, receiver, even corner in this upcoming draft. But what about trades? I know that we're all apprehensive of trading picks, and I get it because I am too. But what other trade pieces, what other trade assets do the Titans currently have in their back pocket? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.